The book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse 1 today, and we will go through the entire 7th chapter. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Well, this time it is Daniel's turn to dream. In the past, he has interpreted dreams from God, and now he is right in the middle of one himself. And it says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. And really, what we see here in verse 1 is the essence of Holy Scripture. Holy Scripture consists of revelation and inspiration. And we see both of them right here. The dream that Daniel received was revelation. His dream was revelation from God. Daniel writing it down was inspiration. Revelation plus inspiration equals Holy Scripture. Revelation is God giving man information. Inspiration is God ensuring that that information gets recorded on paper accurately, without error. So we have Holy Scripture right here. Verse 2, Daniel said, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. In his dream, Daniel saw the wind coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west, all at the same time. The wind came from four different directions and met in the sea and really started stirring up the water. And then notice verse 3. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. So can you picture this? The winds coming from the north, south, east, and the west, they meet in the middle of the ocean, and they begin to stir up the waves, and then out of these waves come four beasts. The sea in this dream represents the world. The four beasts represent four world empires. And so this dream concerns the four great world empires. You say, that sounds familiar. Well, it should. Earlier, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had a dream. Remember the head of gold and the shoulders and the chest of silver and then the bronze waist and then the iron legs and feet? That was a picture of the four world empires too. So this is the same thing from a little different angle and with a different emphasis, as we will see. But anyway, he sees these four beasts, four empires coming out of the world. Four. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. So the first empire is represented by a lion with wings. Now that's a dynamite combination. Can you imagine a lion that flew? What kind of damage a lion like that could do? A lion with wings would be fast and furious. And the first empire will be powerful and able to go anywhere. Verse 4 again. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man. And the heart of a man was given to it. It was fast, and it was powerful, until God allowed its wings to be plucked. this first empire was Babylon. For a time, Babylon was unstoppable. But then God caused it to lose its greatness, and it was conquered by empire number two. Verse 5. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. Now, we know that a bear is powerful. But a bear is not as powerful as a lion. And so this second empire, which was the Medes and the Persians, never did attain to the prominence of Babylon when Babylon was at her peak. Verse 5 again, there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides. As I said, the bear represents the Medes and the Persians. And the reason God said it is higher on one side than the other is because the Persian part of this second empire became the greater of the two. And there before me was a second beast which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth. Between its teeth, it was told, "Go, get up, and eat your fill of flesh." Like I said, Medo-Persia did not reach the greatness that Babylon once had. But it still defeated that first empire. Those three ribs in the bear's mouth represent their devouring of Babylon. Verse 6, after that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on its back it had four wings, like those of a bird. Beast number 3, and empire number 3, is pictured as a leopard with wings. A leopard with wings. Can you imagine it? I mean, a leopard is fast, and you add wings to a leopard, and it's unbelievable how fast that thing must have been. And speed would characterize this third world empire, and it did. It happened exactly the way God predicted. The winged leopard is Greece, and if you know your ancient history, you know that under Alexander the Great, Greece quickly conquered the world, including that second empire, the Medes and the Persians. Last part of verse 6, this beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. The four heads picture the four generals who eventually took over after Alexander the Great died. More on that in future chapters, but again, the symbolism is so exact. It's just amazing. This really did happen. Verse 7. After that, in my vision, at night I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. Boy, no finesse in this fourth beast. It was straight ahead, bone-crushing, raw power. But what it could not capture, it devoured. Last part of verse 7, it was different from all the former beast, and it had 10 horns. It had 10 horns. And in Scripture, horns often picture power and often picture kings. And it means both of those things here. The fourth empire is Rome, very powerful, with 10 kings. Verse 8. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spoke boastfully. John was looking at the 10 horns on this fourth beast. They kind of caught his attention, you know. So he is looking at them, studying them, and as he did, all of a sudden, an 11th horn popped up. Now, where in the world did that come from? Well, It was in 11th King. And he was a very bad king. He was an arrogant, God-blaspheming king. Verse 9. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. And so in the days of this blasphemous 11th horn, in the days of this blasphemous 11th king, all of a sudden, John sees the Lord God Almighty. God is on his throne and ready to judge. God is seen with white hair and white clothes, which represent his purity and his holiness. And then there's fire around his throne. That means he's ready to punish anyone who isn't holy. In other words, sinners who have refused his mercy through Jesus Christ. Verse 10, a river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. The fire started flowing. And on Judgment Day, we know that the fire of God's wrath is going to seek out and destroy all who will not repent, and that's what this is a picture of. It says, a river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. This is Judgment Day. The thousands upon thousands and the 10,000 times 10,000. Don't take those numbers literally. There's so much symbolism when you're talking about the number 1,000 in Scripture. And here, it just is a way of saying a number way too big to count. And it's talking about angels. A company of angels, too many to number, will be there on Judgment Day. And we know from Scripture that all the angels will accompany Jesus when he returns. Every angel will return with Jesus Christ, and they will be witnesses at the great judgment on the last day. 11. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. So Rome, in some form, is in charge of the world when Christ returns. And the head of that revived Roman Empire will be that 11th king, the little horn with the big blasphemous mouth. He's going to smart off to God. He's going to blaspheme God until Jesus returns and throws him into hell. 12. The other beast had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. And so each world empire lasted as long as God wanted them to last. And that's it. Not a second longer. 13. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. Do you remember during his trial how Jesus told the religious leaders that one day they would see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, referring to himself? Oh, they were so ticked off, they tore their clothes and yelled blasphemy. Well, here he comes in verse 13. This is a reference to Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus was talking about when he told the religious rulers that someday they would see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. And here he is. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And notice verse 13, the last part of it. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And the picture here is Jesus returning to earth and approaching the Father's throne. You say, well, why? Why? 14, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. God the Father gives God the Son power to rule over the entire earth. And everyone worships Jesus, the good and the bad. Even that smart-alecky 11th horn must worship Jesus. The wicked bow before their God and are then thrown into hell. The righteous enter into a new earth where Jesus will rule forever. 15. Then I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. He was troubled in spirit. And since our spirit is in our body, his body wasn't feeling real well either. He was troubled in spirit, and he could feel it. And that's because a sick spirit will definitely have a negative effect on a physical body. A lot of physical problems are caused by spiritual problems. 16. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. Daniel asks an angel, one of those angels, if he could please explain this dream. And so he does, beginning in verse 17. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will arise from the earth. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome are the four earthly kingdoms, the four kingdoms that will arise from the earth. That's in contrast to the kingdom of Jesus, which comes from heaven, not earth. 18. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. The kingdom of heaven began when Peter preached on the first Pentecost. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The church was born. He preached a powerful message, told all the people that were around him who said, "What must we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And the kingdom of heaven has been growing one soul at a time ever since. Oh, there's going to be a complete fulfillment of this when Jesus returns. But the kingdom of heaven began on the day of Pentecost with the preaching of Jesus. 19. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws. The beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. Well, we can see that that fourth beast had Daniel curious. Now, he understood the first three beasts. I mean, they were represented by animals. Ferocious, kind of strange-looking animals, but nevertheless, this fourth beast really had Daniel curious because it seemed to be part animal and part metal. It was part animal with iron and bronze. What in the world could this be? He didn't know. And what really had him confused, look at verse 20. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up before which three of them fell, the horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. And so that 11th horn especially caught Daniel's attention as well. So it was that fourth beast that Daniel really wanted some elaboration on. 21. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them. This powerful king, this 11th horn, who will reign right before Jesus returns, will hate God and kill Christians. You say, well, that sounds like the Antichrist. A powerful worldwide king who will hate God and kill Christians and reign right before Jesus returns? That sounds like the Antichrist. That's because that's who it is. That's exactly who this is. 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. Jesus will return and rescue his people. And he will throw the Antichrist into hell when he returns too. 23. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. And, you know, the angel says that fourth kingdom is going to be different. And one way the fourth kingdom will be different than the other three is that it will exist in two phases. Phase one of the Roman Empire ended a few centuries after Christ. Phase two will be in charge of the world at the return of Jesus Christ. So it's going to make a comeback. That's what made it different. 24. The ten horns are ten kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue three kings. When Rome fell, it splintered into several nations. When ancient Rome fell, it splintered into several nations, which today make up Europe. And so those European nations, which sprang out of Rome, are represented by the ten horns here. 25. And still, well, let's read 24 along with it. The ten horns are ten kings who will come from his kingdom, or from this kingdom. After them, another king, that 11th one. See, after them, after the fall of Rome, after the rise of those ten kings, which would be Europe, after that, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue three kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. That 11th horn is going to rule over the revived Roman Empire. And he will have no regard for natural law. He will have no regard for common decency. He will have no regard for the law of God. He will persecute Christians for 3.5 years before Jesus Christ returns. 26. But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. And so he will pay for his blasphemies and his killing of Christians. He will not get away with it. 27. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints. The people of the Most High, his kingdom, will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. And the Bible says that God will make a new heavens and a new earth, and those of us who know Christ will enjoy it all forever. It will be an everlasting kingdom, according to verse 27. 28. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. Daniel saw the history of the world in one dream. Now, that was a long night. He saw the history of the world, and it was mostly bad. I mean, it was filled with persecution and death for God's people. The good part came at the end. The good part was the happy ending, but it sure did drain Daniel. Next time, chapter 8. Until then, so long, everyone.